This is Dan Klingler, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona with Arizona History, the program where we showcase people, places, and events that have helped to shape our great state. Today, we will be reading about an Army widow at the Tucson Presidio entitled The Greatest Misfortune in Poverty. This was from Volume 52, Number 1 of the Journal of Arizona History, published in spring of 2011. This article is written by Mark Santiago. The mood in the church at the Presidio of San Agustin del Tucson was particularly sad on the last day of August 1784. The previous day, Don Tomas Egurola, lieutenant of the garrison, had died. Now, on a Tuesday morning, the citizens and soldiers of the community gathered at his funeral mass and burial. The scene was rendered particularly poignant by the distressed state of the lieutenant's grieving widow, Maria Vicenta Gonzalez, who carried the couple's infant daughter in her arms. The vagaries of fate must have been overwhelming. Not more than 7 months had passed since she and her husband had arrived, with the hopes of a bright future, from her native town of El Paso. Within weeks, her husband had been hailed as a hero after leading the soldiers of the garrison to a great victory over the enemy Apaches. 2 months later, she delivered a healthy baby girl, the couple's first child. But now her husband was dead, and she found herself alone, with little money, a newborn to support, and very far from her home. It must have been one of the most difficult times in her life. If there was a silver lining to the troubled clouds closing in on Vicenta, it lay in the fact that her late husband's military career offered her the prospect of a widow's pension. As an officer, Lieutenant Egurola had earned a salary that would afford his wife and daughter the security of a steady, if modest, income, a just reward from a pious king to a family who had made the ultimate sacrifice. Unfortunately for Vicenta, she had no idea how long and hard she would have to work to obtain her stipend. Over the course of the next 5 years, she would confront a myriad of bureaucratic hurdles, stretching all the way from Tucson to the court in Madrid. Through it all, she displayed a single-mindedness of purpose that speaks volumes about a woman's role within the closed society of the 18th-century Spanish military. Vicenta's story is inextricably bound with the career of her husband. Tomás Egurola was born in the central Mexican city of Silao on March 6, 1743. 5 days later, his parents, Don Dionisio Egurola and Doña Andrea de Tovia, married Spaniards, vecinos of this congregation, had him baptized in the parish church. As the son of Spaniards, Tomás was near the top of the racial hierarchy that permeated colonial Mexican society. And yet, even though he was considered of high calidad, or quality, and was entitled to bear the honorific of Don, Tomás Egurola's role in the world was far from certain. At some point, he left his home city and struck out to seek his fortune on New Spain's northern frontier. After a short career as a merchant in Chihuahua, he joined the Spanish army and led reconnaissance parties along the Rio Grande. Lieutenant Egurola soon won a reputation for valor while developing abilities that were later characterized as giving him a special knowledge of the lands the enemy inhabits and of this type of warfare, in which he has distinguished himself and for which he is very useful. Having advanced himself farther than he had succeeded as a merchant, Tomás Egurola embraced his new career as a first lieutenant. Egurola's success made him a valuable prospect among the colonial families of the area. In 1775, he met Maria Vicente González de Castro, a native of the Villa of El Paso, present-day Ciudad Juárez. Whether for love or convenience, the couple was married on August 14, 1775, by Father José Gómez Terán in the Church of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Vicenta's parents were listed as Don Bernardo González de Castro and Doña Briando Roybal, citizens of the Pueblo. They must have been of some stature in the community, as one of Vicenta's padrinos, or godparents, was none other than Don José Antonio Arrieta, lieutenant governor of the province of New Mexico and the chief royal official in El Paso. For the next several years, the couple appears to have remained in the region. In 1775 and 1776, Tomás's unit was stationed at the post of Carizal, about 40 miles south of El Paso. However, because the company was a mobile unit, detachments ranged far and wide, wherever danger threatened. For example, between September and December of 1777, Tomas was stationed at the Presidio of Llanos, southwest of El Paso, where he took part in several operations against the Apaches. The following year, the company moved to a new camp at Guajoquia, farther south. Like all officers' wives, Vicenta accompanied her husband to his various postings. In 1780, Tomas received an independent command, leading a group of 126 impoverished citizens from El Paso in a colonizing effort near the Presidio of San Eleazario, about 40 miles downstream along the Rio Grande. The post had been established by the Guajoquia garrison in late 1774. At San Eleazario, Tomas supervised the construction of a main canal, 3 quadras long, 3 varas wide, and 2 to 3 varas deep. Assured of ample water, the colonists planted more than 1,000 fanejas of seed corn and wheat and built warehouses capable of holding 4,000 fanejas or more of grain. Their efforts, designed to furnish the Presidio with a dependable food supply, were initially successful. Tomas's fortunes, however, soon took a bad turn. For unknown reasons, he fell afoul of Teodoro de Croix, known as the Caballero de Croix, who was the chief military officer in the interior provinces. The new commandant general was a talented but demanding officer, vested with almost total military and civilian power over the entire northern frontier. Croix was notoriously critical of the local officer corps, especially those who lacked professional military backgrounds. Sometime after Agurola led the colonizing effort to the Valley of San Eleazario, Croix ordered him dismissed from the royal service. This must have been a devastating blow to both Tomas and Vicenta, lessened only by the fact that they were relatively near Vicenta's family and friends in El Paso. Then, in late 1783, Brigadier Felipe de Neve succeeded Croix as commandant general. The new commander immediately planned a series of large-scale offensive campaigns to harass the various Apache peoples across the interior provinces. As military preparations intensified, so did the need for experienced officers. At some point, former Lieutenant Agurola came to Neve's attention. In January of 1784, the lieutenancy at the Presidio of Tucson became vacant, and Neve decided to give Tomas a chance to redeem his fortune. On March 8th, Neve informed José de Galvez, First Minister of the Indies, "I have settled the lieutenancy upon Don Tomas de Agurola." He served in an equal capacity in the companies of the Nueva Vizcaya expedition. In various encounters with the enemy, he exhibited outstanding bravery. Glossing over Tomas's problems under Croix, Neve noted that Agurola has corrected the defects which obliged my predecessor to terminate his career. Knowing that he has reformed, I recently offered to appoint him again. At the time of his reappointment, Tomas and Vicenta were living in El Paso. How the couple was making a living is unknown, but it is probable that Tomas had returned to his previous career as a merchant or businessman. Regardless, Tomas and a very pregnant Vicenta set out for their new post, arriving at Tucson in the early months of 1784. As lieutenant of the company, Agurola was the executive officer for the 75-man garrison under the command of Captain Pedro Allende de Saavedra. A regular army veteran who had commanded at Tucson for the past 7 years, Allende was an experienced Apache fighter of undoubted courage. Unfortunately, he was also a cruel and vindictive martinet. Whether or not Tomas ever ran afoul of Allende's mercurial temperament, he certainly quickly received a reintroduction to combat with the Apaches. Within weeks of his arrival at Tucson, Agurola took part in a battle that cemented his reputation for courage and promised to advance his military career. Commandant General Neve forwarded a detailed account to his superiors in Spain. At break of day on the 21st day of March last, a multitude of Apaches attacked the remount herd guard of the Presidio of San Agustin del Tucson, which was under the command of Ensign Don Juan Carrillo. Lieutenant Tomas Agurola gave the example by killing with his own hands one of the Apaches. They broke off the engagement and took precipitous flight as soon as they saw the massacre and noticed the harm which this handful of men, whom they had planned to surround with their mass, had caused. Commandant General Neve praised the troops involved and recommended them for reward, writing, "It has seemed to me part of my obligation to inform Your Excellency of all this in order that he may serve to present it to His Majesty with the merit which Lieutenant Don Tomas Egarola, Ensign Don Juan Carrillo, and the troop have contracted in the battle described, in order that the royal mercy may deign to dispense to them the gratitude which might be his sovereign will." Egarola's action in the battle of March 21, 1784, marked another turning point in his career and vindicated Commandant General Neve's faith in reinstating him. With her husband's military career on the rise, Vicenta's own life was enriched exactly 2 months later with the arrival of the couple's first child. As recorded in the Tucson Church records, "In the year of our Lord of 1784, on the 21st day of March, I, Father Juan Beldarin, Predicador Apostolico and Ministero of His Majesty for the Pueblo of San Agustin del Tucson, solemnly baptized an infant girl, legitimate daughter of Don Tomas Egarola, Lieutenant of the Presidio Tucson, and of Doña Maria Vicenta Castro, his wife, to whom they gave the name of Juana Maria Francisca, and whose padrinos were Don Juan Antonio Carrillo, Alferez over the said Presidio, and his wife, Doña Maria Nicolosa Valenzuela." Alferez Carrillo had been singled out for praise along with Egarola during the March 21 fight, and the two subaltern officers clearly had developed a close relationship. The fact that Carrillo and his wife, Maria Nicolosa, served as godparents for Tomas and Vicenta's newborn daughter suggests that, as was common in Hispanic communities, the Egarolas had begun to form fictive kinship relationships that may have compensated for their lack of blood relatives at Tucson. Such support must have been especially welcome for the mother of an infant. For Tomas and Vicenta, the move from El Paso to Tucson seemed to be rewarding. But in the next several months, Vicenta's situation dramatically changed. On August 1, 1784, Alferez Carrillo was killed in yet another Apache fight near Tucson. If Vicenta tried to ease the suffering of her comadre, Maria Nicolosa, her ministrations were short-lived. In late August, Tomas came down with an unknown illness that quickly proved fatal. As Father Beldarin at San Javier had a few months earlier recorded the baptism of Vicenta's daughter in the church records, so now he noted the death of her husband. On the 31st of August of 1784, in this church of San Agustin del Tucson, I gave an ecclesiastical burial to Don Tomas Egarola, lieutenant of this company, who received all of the sacraments and died a natural death. One can only imagine the impact of this blow on Vicenta. Sadly, more misfortune was to follow. With the death of her husband, Vicenta was forced to rely, for her and her daughter's necessities, on any portion of Tomas's pay that had not already been spent, and on the charity of the soldiers and civilians at Tucson. While this certainly must have helped in the short run, she needed to find permanent income. For a military officer's wife, the most certain source of relief was the Monte Pio Militar, a special government fund for widows and orphans. Drawing on earlier precedents, King Charles III had instituted the Monte Pio in 1761 as part of his empire-wide reform of the Spanish military. According to the regulations of the Monte, a widow was entitled to one half of her husband's salary for the remainder of her life, unless or until she either entered religious orders or remarried. Orphaned children were also eligible for relief, boys until they were 18, and girls until they either married, became nuns, or turned 25. Although enacted with the best of intentions, like all bureaucracies, the Monte Pio entailed a lengthy amount of paperwork. Vicenta clearly understood little about the intricacies of military protocol as she struggled with widowhood in the late summer and early fall of 1784. At some point, she managed to contact a senior military commander in the region, Lieutenant Colonel Jose Antonio Rengel in Chihuahua City. Serving as ad interim commandant general for the interior provinces after Felipe de Neve's unexpected death the previous August, Rengel was sympathetic to Vicenta's plight and promised that he would forward to the king a request that she be granted a pension. Then, in what can only be described as a wrenching irony, Ringel notified Vicenta that the king had recognized Tomas's role in the March 21 fight at Tucson by promoting him to the rank of captain. The commission was signed on October 20, 1784, almost 2 months after Tomas's death. True to his word, on February 26, 1785, Ringel wrote a letter to Minister of the Indies, José de Galvez, informing him of the situation. Ringel acknowledged receiving Egarola's promotion for leading the gallant actions of the troop of the Presidio of Tucson against the enemy. Unfortunately, the lieutenant had died of sickness without being able to enjoy the promotion that His Majesty dispensed. Ringel therefore brought Vicenta's plight to Galvez's attention, asking that she be considered a participant in the royal kindness by virtue of the loss of her husband, as she is left with a daughter in the greatest misfortune and poverty, so that there may be granted to her a pension or grace, as may be the royal pleasure. All Vicenta could do was await the reply from Madrid as to whether or not her request would be approved. Bereft of kin, at some point she left Tucson and later returned to her home, or patria, as she termed it, in El Paso. Almost a year passed before she received news of her status. In early 1786, Ringel contacted Vicenta again, informing her that by a royal order dated July 30, 1785, the king had granted her request for a pension. Furthermore, in recognition of her loss, the pension would be based on Tomas's rank and salary as captain, an honor he had been awarded but never held. While undoubtedly pleased with this development, Vicenta faced the sobering reality that she had to satisfy a series of bureaucratic requirements before she would receive any money. First, she needed to produce legal documents that verified her status as a wife and widow. These included a copy of her marriage license, along with Tomas's birth and death certificates, and any service records detailing his career. At this point, Vicenta at least had a clear set of goals she needed to accomplish, and she immediately set to work. Whether in person, through intermediaries, or by correspondence, she began gathering the documents that detailed her and Tomas's life together. On March 29, 1786, she obtained from the military archives in Arispe a certified copy of Commandant General Neve's appointment of her husband as lieutenant of the Tucson Presidio, as well as a certificate confirming the date of his death and a statement of his annual salary. 3 months later, on June 20 and 21, Vicenta requested and received a certified copy of her marriage certificate from the El Paso Parish Church. Turning next to her and Tomas's last posting, she wrote to Father Juan Bautista Beldarén at San Javier del Bac and to the Tucson Post commander, Captain Pablo Romero. On September 3 and 4, the priest and the soldier drew up certified copies of three documents for Vicenta: her daughter's baptismal certificate, Tomas's death certificate, and a copy of his burial register. Armed with these documents, she contacted Brigadier Jacobo Ugarte y Loyola, who had recently assumed office as the new Commandant General at his headquarters in Chihuahua City. Her plea to him read as follows: "It has pleased His Majesty, may God protect him, to concede to me the award of a pension from the Monte Pio Militar, requiring me at the same time to send the necessary documents. As the distances have not permitted me to send them to your lordship until now, so that in view of them the piety of your lordship will deign to issue your orders to the end that I may receive the grace for the help of my necessities." Vicenta's petition must have struck a chord with Commandant General Ugarte, because he decided to award her a pension of 188 pesos a year, based on the salary her husband would have earned as a captain. Ugarte realized, however, that his decision ultimately required royal approval. To validate his decision, on November 28, 1786, Ugarte presented the case to Don Pedro Galindo y Navarro, the Commandant General's Assessor Auditor de Guerra, an officer who functioned essentially as Attorney General. Galindo's task was to examine the case and identify any legal faults or omissions that might preclude granting Vicenta's pension. He studied the situation over the course of several weeks, and on January 5, 1787, returned his findings to Ugarte. In his review, Galindo identified two potential problems. First, when Tomas had married Vicenta, He was in violation of the Royal Regulations of 1772, which stated that presidial soldiers should not contract marriage without the approval of their superior officers. Galindo found that when Tomás de Eguerola, serving as first lieutenant of the 4th Compañía Volante, married on August 14th of 1775 with Doña Vicenta González de Castro, without having received license, he was not conforming to the cited practice, and he did not present the same, nor can his widow present it now. The assessor ventured that this might disqualify Vicenta from receiving a pension from the Monte Pio Militar. Then, in good lawyerly fashion, he proposed a solution to the problem he had just raised. Although Tomás may have violated regulations when he married Vicenta, his dismissal from the army by the Caballero de Croix had wiped his record clean. Galindo concluded that, as this officer has been entirely separated from the service and had been already married when Comandante General Neve appointed him as veteran lieutenant of San Agustin del Tucson, then his widow is entitled to receive his pension. A second potential stumbling block lay in the fact that Vicenta had presented all the necessary documents required by the Monte Pio, except the baptismal certificate of her late husband. Galindo felt certain, however, that in view of her great misery and poverty with a 2-year-old girl child, if Vicenta were able to present the legalized baptismal form as soon as possible, Ugarte could give assistance in the interim to her and her infant daughter. Galindo concurred with Ugarte's proposal that payments should commence from the day following Eguerola's death. Satisfied that his decision would pass legal muster, on January 15, 1787, Comandant General Ugarte met with Don Andres Martinez, a citizen of Chihuahua City, who was verbally charged by Doña Vicenta González to act on her behalf. Ugarte informed Martinez that he was granting Vicenta a pension of 188 pesos per year, dating from the end of August 1784. The sum currently due her was approximately 454 pesos, and it is likely that Ugarte instructed the treasury officers in Chihuahua City to deposit this amount with Martinez on Vicenta's behalf. The Commandant General made it clear, however, that this was only an interim award, pending royal approval of the widow's pension. Vicenta still must complete the necessary paperwork by securing a copy of Tomás's baptismal certificate. Exactly when Vicenta received the news and money from Andres Martinez is not known, but she immediately set to work obtaining the one piece of documentation she lacked to secure her pension. Several months later, word reached Doña Andrea de Tovia in Silao that her daughter-in-law had written the parish priest requesting a copy of her husband's baptismal record. Whether the two women had ever met or even knew each other existed before this time is unknown, but they soon came together to obtain the missing document. Father José Manuel de Ibarra located and copied Tomás's baptismal record, which he certified on July 14, 1787, in the presence of Don José Francisco Pérez de León and Rafael de Morales, Spaniards and vecinos of this congregation, and they signed at the petition of Doña Andrea de Tovia. Not satisfied with this, Doña Andrea also had Silao's chief royal official attest the documents before she sent them off to benefit her daughter-in-law and her grandchild. It would have taken several months for the packet of documents to travel from Silao, whether they went directly to Comandante General Ugarte in Chihuahua City or to Vicenta in El Paso. Regardless, the final decision on securing Vicenta's pension seems to have dragged on again, possibly as the result of a turf war. In August 1787, Manuel Antonio Flores became viceroy of New Spain and soon entered into a running dispute with Comandante General Ugarte. Ugarte had exercised a great deal of independent authority following the unexpected death of Viceroy Bernardo de Galvez in late 1785. When Flores assumed power, he quickly sought to rein in Ugarte's authority. Ill will quickly soured relations between the two men. Keen to prove that he had not overstepped his bounds, on July 3, 1788, Ugarte compiled a report on his granting of a widow's pension to Vicenta González without first obtaining permission from the viceroy. The Commandant General quoted a series of regulations from the Monte Pio Militar stating that, to effect pure justice, both viceroys and governors could grant widows a pension corresponding to their husband's rank. Ugarte maintained that this gave him the right to issue the pension, as he was acting independently of the viceroy during the period between Galvez's death and Flores's extension. After reviewing the situation, Flores agreed that Ugarte had acted within his authority and that it would be very just if the crown were to approve Vicenta's pension. On October 24, 1788, the viceroy sent the entire contents of the case, along with his recommendation, to Madrid for the king's approval. In a final twist of fate, King Charles III died before the documents arrived in Spain, once again threatening to delay Vicente's claim. However, the machinery of government continued running. On June 29, 1789, the late king's son and successor, Charles IV, approved Vicente's pension. Fortunately, her five-year struggle had secured a stable livelihood for Doña María Vicente de González, widow of Don Tomás Eguirola, late lieutenant of the Tucson Presidio, and her daughter. As long as she did not remarry, Vicenta received a sum of money from the crown that guaranteed her a modest existence and a degree of independence, quite atypical in the patriarchal society in which she lived. Her ultimate fate and that of her daughter are unknown, but the records of her struggle for a widow's pension provide glimpses into the life and circumstances of an 18th-century woman in the Spanish borderlands. Thank you for joining us once again for Arizona History. This has been Dan Klingler, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org, left click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then, under Programming Links, left click on Demand Podcasts. You can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device as well.